welcome to the May edition of the Fuel Podcast. I don't know about you all, but it seems like we were just here a couple weeks ago. Anyways, you know, weather's getting nicer, and we got a jam-packed show for you this month. We've got Colonel Dave Borden on. We're going to introduce him as the new MSG commander. He's been here a little while, but first time we've had him on the show, so we'll introduce you to him. And then we've also got Julie Thompson, who is the lead mentor for the new and improved Commander's Key Support Program. It is no longer the Key Spouse Program. Julie and I took a bet, the over-under on how many times we would call it the Key Spouse Program. And I think we settled on over under 1.5, and I think we went under. I don't believe that we called it the Key Spouse Program once. So we've got some things going on this weekend. We've got Commander's Call Saturday at 9 and Doc 1. And then this is Chief Jansenius. This will be his last UTA. So we will be welcoming the new command chief. Chief Noel Price will be here. We have Colonel Perry. This is he is headed to bigger and better things. He's going to be the wing commander at Wright-Patterson. So this will be his last UTA as well. So if you see those folks walking around, you know, wish them well. We appreciate everything that they've done for us here, and wish them the best in their future endeavors. So without further ado, let's talk to Julie about this new Commander's Key Support Program. All right, so I am here with Julie Thompson, who is the lead mentor for the Commander's Key Support Program. How are you, Julie?
I am doing well. I have my coffee in hand right now, so I'm doing much better.
I have caffeine as well, but due to promotional things, I'm not allowed to say what kind it is, but it's not coffee. So, all right, so you're the lead mentor for the Commander's Key Support Program. That's a different name.
Yes. It's a new name, but we have the same mission right now. So supporting our airmen, we still are doing that, and helping provide resources for the families. We're still doing that. So, yes, it used to be the Key Spouse, and I know that I'm probably going to say it. You might say it too, but throughout this. So if we say Key Spouse or anything, bear with us, but it is technically now the Commander's Key Support Program.
What's the over under on how many times we say Key Spouse instead of Key Support? I'm going to go 1.5. I think we're going to do pretty good.
Well, we have something in front of us to kind of help remind us a little bit. So that might help, but
I've already looked at it twice so that I don't say Key Spouse. So new name. So there's got to be at least some differences. What differences are there? I think I saw something about maybe an expanded volunteer pool.
Yes. So the unit commanders can choose anyone now. Before it said Key Spouse, so everyone assumed it had to be a spouse for their representation for each unit. But now they're saying that it can be pretty much anyone, anyone that the commander sees that's qualified to help out with the duties in their unit and also to represent their unit well.
So what does everyone's a volunteer, right?
Yep, everyone's a volunteer. So we do not get paid at all for this position.
Oh, bless you. Bless you for everything you do and all the other key support members.
Yeah, key support liaisons. Is what we're called.
Okay,
now.
I was like, well, I about said key spouses, and I. So, what do you do then? Because I think some people have a basic understanding of what you guys do, but expand a little bit. What do you take care of?
Well, first off, once they're appointed, they have to be appointed from the commander, from their unit commander, which means they have to have an appointment letter sent to me as the lead. And then from there, I will get them the training. We don't just automatically become a key support liaison.
I saw the struggle.
But we do have trainings. So one of the things that had changed was from going from 8 modules, it's down to 5 modules now. But we also still have to do our training. We still have to do every year our SAPR and suicide prevention training too. But just to know the importance of what you tell people and what you don't tell people, that PII is super important. So that's part of it, is that's what the training entails. And then whatever the unit commander needs help with, I mean, we can help with deployment calls. So when families are needing just a little bit of extra help, just to check in, we call them. I live closer to the base. So I am here probably a lot compared to the other people, or my other team members that are here. But just going around sometimes and just making sure that people see a face. That's the biggest thing, too, is, yes, we have pictures up around in each of the buildings and stuff, too, of who their key support liaisons are. But sometimes seeing a face, seeing a human, seeing someone that's real, they can come up to, they can talk to.
Well, it's also, it's a little... Look, you all care a lot. You have to.
Yes.
To be a volunteer to do this, you have to. And it's hard to maybe get that sense of how much you folks care with a picture on the wall.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So it's important to get out so that, you know, folks know who you guys are, you know who they are. But what makes this program so important?
The biggest thing is reaching out to the families, supporting the airmen and stuff, but just... we are that link between the families and the leadership. And if somebody in a uniform would call to their family, that is a little hard, especially on this side, on the family side of things. If somebody from Grissom would call me, might, you know, be a little shocking at first. But if someone that is a volunteer is calling the families on behalf of Grissom, it's a little easier to take. And then also that way they can relate a whole lot with what families, moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas. I mean, it can be anybody that we are calling just to check in, just to kind of see how they're doing. But just in knowing that we care, that right there is a huge part of us.
Yeah, I imagine it probably is. And I guess I'd never thought of it from the family side of, like, it's probably much easier to talk to someone who is a volunteer who is associated with the military the same way you are.
Yes.
Versus being in it.
Yep. Yep. I understand with going to church by myself because my husband was gone on deployments and stuff. I understand going to my kids' ball games by myself and how that feels and things like that. When things break down at the house, because you know something is going to happen when your loved one is gone, you can relate. You just want to talk and you just want to vent. You don't really need an answer sometimes, but you just want to vent to somebody because the person that you're used to talking with isn't there. That way you have someone else there that you can count on.
So I guess that kind of makes sense with the support.
The support part of it,
yeah, because
yes.
It's not even necessarily that you need a fix to everything. It's more just someone to talk to, someone who can relate to what you're going through.
Yep, yep. I'm not here to fix your problems, but I'm just here to listen and to help provide some of those resources if you need it. But also that way people know, the families know that Grissom cares.
So you got the family part of it, though. What do you guys do, like, to support the airmen? There might have been a little rumbling of some exercise goodies.
Yes, yes. So we had some exercises to get ready for the inspection. So the members, they can't leave. I mean, they're here 12 hours. It's hard for them to, it's hard for them to even get over to the BX. I mean, there is a BX here. There is the DFAG here. But when they get called and they have to leave right away. So we had... 9 little tables, 9 little areas, the baskets, and we just filled them up with all kinds of goodies, homemade goodies. It can just be like protein stuff, We had some cheese sticks and things like that that were in there too, but just really anything just to help get them by, just to help even just a little bit. Right now, Military and Family Readiness has a bunch of Girl Scout cookies. We also put some Girl Scout cookies out on the tables too at this last inspection. So yeah, just anything just to help them, just to give them a little push, a little like, here, we know you're going through all this, but we're here, we're backing you, we support you. Just even something as simple as like some goodies sometimes, that just helps them.
Yeah, especially if you're bringing caffeine around.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Those 12-hour shifts get to, they seem to take longer than 12 hours when you're tired. So.
Yes.
Yeah. So how
and I know how to win a man's heart, you know, I mean, making some goodies and stuff too.
Yeah, some beef food. Jerky and caffeine.
Yep. Yeah, oh, yeah. Good.
Yeah. So if someone's listening to this and they're wondering how they get involved, what's that process like? Like, do they contact you? Do they contact the
They can contact me, but I will send them on to their unit commander. Because it is the commander's key support program. So it's up to the commander. So they have to appoint, they have to send me that appointment letter saying that, yes, they approve this person. They're good with that person representing their squadron. But yes, if anybody, I mean, we have 30 right now, volunteers.
It's a good number.
It is. Yes. But do I want to grow it? Oh, heck yeah, I do. I want to have a ton. I mean, volunteers. I mean, there are a lot of people that have a caring heart that want to help too, but maybe they just don't know where or how. We don't do a whole lot here at the base. We're not here every UTA weekend. We meet or try to do something quarterly if we can, but really can't really make anything mandatory because we are volunteers, but I kind of have one meeting that it's pretty much mandatory just so we can get our SAPR suicide prevention, just some of those trainings thing, our yearly trainings done. And then it's up to the commander though, too. Maybe they want them to come in. Maybe they need some help at a burger burn or something like that, just helping with things. But yeah, we don't really do a whole lot around here. But next month, I am planning a base tour because we're not here that often, we don't know where to go to. We don't know if you say building 596 or 431 or anything like that. We don't know some of those sometimes. So just having a tour just to kind of get a little better acquainted with Grissom, even though it's not huge, but it is scary sometimes because people don't know where do I go.
Yeah, you're right. It is not huge. When the AMCIG team was here last month, when they were given their brief, I want to say it might have been safety that was like, if you get lost, don't worry. It takes approximately 5 minutes to drive around the whole base. So yes. you'll find where you need to go.
Yes. And so. We've also last fall, we went on an incentive flight. So there are some fun little perks and some little things that I know even some of the military members even said, oh, man, I've never even got to do something like that. But we have guys, we have girls. So it's not just that we have all females or anything like that. And some of them are prior military also that help around here. But it's just all about helping.
Well, and if nothing else, it's also still support for that member, like the spouse or whatever, because it's kind of a community amongst you guys, right? Yep. Like, I'm sure that you're talking outside of the time that you see each other face to face, right? Yes. So at the very least, it's a whole new pool of friends that you have.
Oh my gosh, yes. And friends that I never knew that even existed here too.
Right.
I just come in, I know ops, I know, you know, like where my husband works at, and that's about it. But now I've met so many more people. I may even know more people than my own husband here.
What? I mean, that seems like a little bit of an exaggeration, but well.
And I'm so shy, you know.
You are not shy. Oh, that's the funniest thing that's ever been said on this podcast. And we had a ghost hunter on here. So, well, Julie, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate the information on the Key Support Program. And
thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we'll have Lieutenant Colonel Borden on as the new MSG commander.
In the United States Air Force, there's a tradition, 82 years in the making, of taking care of our own. Through whatever challenges, struggles, or tribulations we face, we at the Air and Space Forces have each other's backs. Now, it's time to prove it. That tradition continues this spring with the 2024 Air Force Assistance Fund, a program comprised of four charities that come to the aid of our airmen, guardians, and their families, and have been for years.
The Air Force Aid Society,
Air Force Enlisted Village,
the General and Mrs. Curtis E. LeMay Foundation,
the Air Force Villages Charitable Foundation.
Give back to the only officially sponsored Department of the Air Force fundraiser that is for airmen and guardians, by airmen and guardians. And now, giving is easier than ever with e-giving options. You can give a one-time gift or spread out donations on a monthly basis. And in case you didn't already know, the reasons for giving are simple. Because we always take care of our own, and because we never know when the day may come that we are the ones that need help.
All right, so I am here with Lieutenant Colonel Dave Borden, the Mission Support Group Commander. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Welcome to the base as well. It's been a little while now, right?
Almost a year now.
Has it really been a year?
Since I joined. Yeah, I was TR for the first 8 months.
That's right.
And decided to become an ARC.
All right. So as the commander, though, about 4 months here?
A little over 4 months now, yes.
So how's it treating you so far?
It's been good. Good group of people here. Awesome mission. So my third base is with tankers. I love the tanker mission. With refueling and whatnot. But just being here at Grissom has been pretty awesome.
Where'd you come from?
Before here, I was at Westover as a deputy mission support group commander up there.
Okay.
So up in Massachusetts.
Okay, nice. So what do you think you bring to the fight here at Grissom?
From my perspective, I was a former master sergeant. So I was command post active duty and went to the Guard and Reserve commission 19 years ago. So I got quite a bit of background, 12 and a half years prior enlisted.
You've been in a little while.
Just a little bit, 31 years now.
Holy smokes. Yeah. That's okay. I have been alive longer than you've been in the Air Force, but not by much.
So I guess my perspective is I've seen both sides. I know what it means to be probably back in the day, like you were active duty. I know what it was like to be a one striper living in base housing in the dorms back then. And how little money we made and how things went, all the things you had to go through. So, yeah.
So what is your scope on the base here? As the mission support group commander, what's your scope?
So as Colonel Ty likes to call me the mayor, I don't know if I call myself the mayor.
The mayor of Grissom.
And that I take care of, make sure all the care and feeding of the base, you guys have what you need, you have the power, you have obviously the network, that kind of thing. So lodging for those that are coming on UTA weekends and all. Yep.
Is there much of a difference with what you do during the week versus what you're doing on the weekend the UTA weekends? Is there any difference?
So I believe there is. Obviously we're here to be prepared. So I get everybody ready, make sure their training's up to date and we have the TRs ready to go deploy. So I look at it, it's twofold. I'm here for the day to day to make sure the full-time folks, the ARTS, the AGRs, civilians that we're rolling forward to make sure that we have all the capabilities necessary to have our TRs performed or trained and ready to go. So, yeah, so it kind of changes gear a little bit from the day-to-day of any kind of issues we may have with mowing or whatever that is, security threats, whatever that could be, then fast forward to, hey, how's the squadron doing? And the six squadrons we have with everybody full up. Where are we at with training? What do you have going on for the weekend and making sure people are capable and competent and ready to go?
So I know that folks have had a little bit of taste of you as the commander now, but moving forward, what do you think that the folks, and I guess not even necessarily just the MSG, but the base as a whole, what can we expect from you?
try to get out a little bit more.
It's hard, isn't it?
It's very hard. So I know in the change of command, that was one of the comments that Colonel Wiltsey brought up, is I like to get out and get in front and chat with people and see how things are going. Go down some rabbit holes, things happen, and it's not as easy as I thought it would be to get out. But I plan on pressing ahead and making that, get that happening. Certainly now that we get through the NORI, hopefully we'll finish up this Sunday and life will be a little easier for all of us, I think.
Yeah, there's also a, you know, getting used to the position and, you know, all the contact. Like Colonel Wiltsey did walk around the halls quite often, but that was, you know, a year in. So you're 4 months in. So, you know, we'll give you a little bit of a little bit of a break on that for right now.
I appreciate that. But,
let's switch gears a little bit here. We'll talk about your personal life, family.
Yep. My wife and I here with two dogs, moved over here from Wright Pat. We were over there as a civilian. We've got five boys, 36 to 24. The two youngest are military, both went active duty Air Force. Now one's in the older, one's in the Guard, and the other one's in the reserves at Wright Pat.
So you've got a full basketball team.
We do have a full basketball team.
But you lived, and I believe you're a football fan, though, right?
I am a football fan. College football.
Yeah?
Like college football more than anything, yes.
So Michigan fan, right?
No. Very much not a Michigan fan, no.
So with your answer to that, I'm assuming you're an Ohio State fan.
I am.
Okay.
I wouldn't say die hard, but I am a fan of Ohio State.
Yeah. Okay.
But I do love all college football.
Nice. So your Saturdays in the fall, are they're booked? Minus the UTA weekends, they're booked.
I try to. I want to get out. I'm excited to go to a Notre Dame game this year. I want to get down to a Purdue game. I want to go to Ball State, maybe down to IU. We'll see.
So I almost don't want to say this on the podcast because I'm going to get ridiculed for it. But my kids and I went to an autograph session in West Lafayette for the basketball team this past Monday. And there was a couple football players there, and my daughter wanted a picture with them. Mm-hmm. So we take a picture and she's like, "Dad, who is that?" And I was like, "I don't want to tell you this, but I don't know who it is." Turns out it's the quarterback for Purdue.
Okay.
But I don't, you know, I'm not a college football fan, so I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm going to get crap for that from some of the pilots that I'm a basketball fan. So what can I say?
No, I understand. I understand.
So what do you do in your free time?
Try to play golf. We just moved into a house out in Kokomo. So I'm doing a lot of work around the house, trying to get that up and running the way we want to. So doing a lot of yard work and go camping on weekends when we can. So.
What kind of, are we talking glamping or camp?
Define glamping, I guess.
Are you in a tent or a camper?
Oh, I have a camper.
Okay.
So it's not a big camper, but it's a camper nonetheless. Yes.
Yeah. No, I mean, I enjoy both. I have a camper as well, but I do enjoy sometimes getting out in the tent. Just, it seems like you can hear more nature than you can in the camper. So
I understand.
So what kind of golfer are you? Scratch golfer?
No, I just like to play. I would say I'm a 15 or better. I'm not very good, but I enjoy playing and I enjoy the scenery of playing out and it's beautiful courses around
it
here.
It is very relaxing. Let's kind of switch here. We're talking about golf as like relaxing. What do you do to recharge? Because this job, I mean, actually everyone's job in the military is demanding. We all have to have our ways of recharging. What's yours look like?
So I try to run every morning before I come in. That helps set the day for me. It gets me where I need to be. It's my release. In preparation for the day. And sometimes at night, if I need to, if the day hadn't gone so well, which I fortunately have not had to do that. It's been good here so far.
That's good.
So,
yeah.
And then golfing on the weekends or whenever I have time.
I'd like it. So let me take you back to the beginning here where we talked about your career here. What did you learn? Like, I get that you understand what it's like to be on both sides, but what did you learn from the enlisted side that you've brought with you through, was it 19 years as an officer?
Well, I've been 19 years commissioned now.
Okay.
Yeah. What did I learn? Trying to think good way to go about how to start that. That's a loaded question.
I'm not trying to make it a loaded question. I thought it was a softball.
No, I guess, you know what? I guess it's the diversity. This probably goes a little more to other things I talk about with folks when we're deploying out. Being active duty, you have that active duty mentality. Everybody's the same, every rank. You know, if you're a staff, you're a staff. You're a senior airman, you're a senior airman. But for the Garden Reserve, for the reserves here, more importantly, everybody brings something unique to the table. You know, I've had folks I've worked with that were lawyers, doctors, business owners, superintendents of high schools. You know, we've had teachers. So it's getting to know that diversity of thought and what they've come from and the background they have. So I would probably say of all the things, it's the culmination of, it's not what I get in a person's rank. It's what do you do for a living downtown? And that's what is important to me, because you bring a heck of a lot more. I'd put up a guard or reservist to any active duty member any day of the week. So when I look at a staff who's active duty, that's all I get. But if I have a senior airman who's doing all these things downtown, I'd rather have that person on my team to get after it.
Yeah, I've noticed that too, where we have just all the... I will say that the folks coming, like myself and you, mm-hmm. and, you know, we have plenty of people in our office who have come from active duty to the reserve. It is a huge, it's a learning curve. Mm-hmm. I thought coming in here, I was like, okay, well, I've been doing this full time for, you know, 8 years, should be able to just slide right in. We'll be good. It is not the same. And it's challenging. Mm-hmm. It is challenging. So, let's see, What do you got? You got anything?
No, like I said, like I mentioned at the beginning, I appreciate the hospitality here. Everybody's been great to work with. I love to watch people grow, what we do here, to watch folks grow up. And I'll take it too. And I missed your promotion at LED when we were there together, and I wanted to be there for it, because I love watching people get recognized. And the promotions. And I know they did it. Chief set you up for that promotion over there and did the promotion ceremony. And I missed out on that. But those are the things I love to go watch do. People get in, you know, have, whether it's doing a senior NCO induction or an NCO induction or promotions, whatever that is. I love to watch that and watch people grow in those positions.
So real quick, one more thing. What do you got planned for the summer? Because you're a little closer to, I don't know, maybe the greatest spectacle in racing.
Well, I might have to try to make it down there one day.
Okay.
Haven't done it yet. We talked about it while we're here. It's one of those bucket list things to go do.
It's a pretty cool thing. If you're going to go see a Notre Dame football game, I think you should probably see the Indy 500 too.
Yeah, it would be a good thing. I definitely need to do that. Yeah. I've done the tour on the museum tour where they take you on the track and all
that.
And that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, thank you so much, sir, for sitting down with me and sharing some of your thoughts, and look forward to, you know, settling in a little more and getting to see you around.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Oh, thanks, sir.
Thanks, Josh. Take care.
All right. That's going to do it for our show. Really good stuff. Really nice to sit down and talk with Colonel Borden and then get some information from Julie on this new Commander's Key Support Program. You know, new name, same mission, but just a little rebranding there. So thank you all for listening. Hope everyone has a good UTA weekend and safe travels on your way in. So we'll see y'all out there.